5-3-1. 5-3-1. When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, when the save of earth shall gather over on the other shore, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. So on that bright and cloudless morning, when the dead in Christ shall ye and the resurrection share, when the chosen one shall gather to their home beyond the sky, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. I'll be there when the roll is called up. I'll be there when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Oh, so let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting, and let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. Then when all of life is over and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there, church, when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up. Oh, yeah, when the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Yes, so let us labor for the Master from the dawn till setting, and let us talk of all his wondrous love and care. And when all of life is and the work on earth is done, and the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Do you wanna when the roll is called up yonder? Will you when the roll is called up yonder? Oh, when the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. When the roll is called up yonder, I'll be there. Amen. Amen. Brother Mitchell.
We appreciate the talent of Brother Michael Brown, Brother Benbridge. Always, the Almighty God has given them, keeping in mind that both Brother Brown and Brother Benbridge, they are not only good singers, they are good preachers. You know, Brother Powell, it's good to see you here, and it's good to see Duke here. Just great. Great to see you. And you didn't bring my brother, Brother Powell. You didn't bring my brother with you. Okay. It's good to see all those who are here, and we hope those who are on their way, they will reach here before Brother Pound gets too far into his lesson. Brother Pound asks me if I have any suggestion in respect to any lesson, and I told him the truth, that he's doing such a good job, I don't want to spoil it. That's right. That is, the very type of lesson that we feel that not only Christians need to hear to reinforce their faith and their conviction in God's truth, but the type of lesson sincere religious men and women who are wrongly. And Brother Pound has been on target every night. Thank God. He will come. Well, before I even say that, remember, tomorrow is the final night for this week. And it's important. I'm not saying it is the final night of the gospel meeting. We are going to take a break Saturday, and then come Sunday night, you have Brother Jeremy Flowers coming also from the state will pick up. But tomorrow night is the final night for this week. We ask that you come out to hear God's word, and that you pray for the meeting, and that you bring out as many as you can to come and share God's word. Brother Pounds, please come and share with us God's word.
Thank you, sir. Thank you so much, Brother Mitchell. What a blessing it is tonight to be able to come back and share with you tonight my faith in Jesus Christ. As always, to those who are visiting with us, those who are not members of the Church of Christ, we want you to know that you are indeed our honored guests, recognizing that many places you could have gone tonight, but because you decided to stop by here, and for that alone, we are indeed grateful. The Church of Christ, we believe in speaking where the Bible speaks, and we're silent where the Bible is silent. And so when you come to the Church of Christ, we always mention this, there are two things you're going to need. Number one, you're going to need an open Bible, because we believe in the Bible. And then number two, you're going to need an open heart. Because when you come with an open Bible and an open heart, then you are ready to receive with meekness the engrafted word, because it is able to save the soul. And so we're grateful for your presence tonight. And we just hope, trust, and pray that much good will come from the time that we spend together on tonight. I want you to come with me to the book of Hebrews chapter 2. In the book of Hebrews chapter 2, we'll start at verse number 1. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Bible says, and if you have it, Hebrews 2, 1, the Bible says, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, in every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? The Bible says in verse 4, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. Another translation reads that, says, for this reason, this is because of God's final revelation in his Son Jesus Christ, and because of Jesus' superiority to the angels, we must pay much and closer attention than ever to the things that we have heard, so that we do not in any way drift away from the truth. For if the message given through angels, that's the law, because the angels were a mediator of the law, Acts 7, verse 53. But it says, for if the message given through angels, the law given by Moses was authentic and it was unalterable, and every violation and disobedient act received an appropriate penalty, how will we escape the penalty if we neglect such a great salvation? Talking about the gospel of this new covenant. For if it was spoken at first by the Lord, and it was confirmed to us and proven authentic by those who personally heard him speak. And besides this evidence, God also testifying with them, confirming the message of salvation, both by signs and wonders and various miracles carried out by the Jews and the apostles. and by granting to believers the gift of the Holy Spirit according to his own will. When you look at verse number 3 again of the book of Hebrews, he says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard them? I want to talk tonight from the thought spoken and confirmed. Yes, spoken and confirmed. I want us to see this tonight, that pertaining to man and his salvation, there were some things that Jesus said. Mm-hmm. And I want us to see this tonight, that Jesus said some things, and they was confirmed by the apostles that this was, in fact, the message of Jesus Christ. Right. And that's our lesson tonight. I learned a long time ago, if it's new, it can't be true. So I'm not bringing nothing new. This is just that old-time gospel. Because if it was good enough for Paul, good enough for Peter, then it's good enough for me. And so we're grateful tonight. It's good to see Brother Brown tonight. Appreciate our Brother Brown tonight. And all those who are with us are just so grateful for the hospitality of the saints here in Jamaica. I want you to know I appreciate you so very, very much. Brother Carl Mitchell I'm a fan of his in regards to the fact I appreciate him for his stance for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I appreciate him and love him so much. I appreciate Sister Mitchell for her kindness as well. And Brother Paul Peart, I appreciate that, brother. Paul, he picks me up and brings me here and takes me back. And I appreciate him. And I enjoy the fellowship that we have together. Now tonight, spoken and confirmed. When it comes down to our salvation, Jesus, while he was on earth, there were some things that he said. And then I want to see that the apostles came afterwards. After the Lord had gone on back to glory, the apostles then came and confirmed that this was, in fact, the message of Christ. Right. And I want to understand, we looked at that on last night. Jesus, in regards to spoken and confirmed, Jesus said in Matthew 16, in verse number 13, Jesus said, upon this rock I will build my church. And we looked at that, the idea of the church. Jesus only built one church. Mm-hmm. All mankind, if he is to be saved, he must be in that one church that Jesus built. And we looked at the idea of one church. Jesus said, it's my church. Mm-hmm. It belongs to Christ. He only built one church. He's the head of only one church. And that church belongs to him. Now, Jesus spoke that. Bible said, Matthew 16 and 18, Jesus spoke that. But I want us to understand that the apostles came after Jesus died, was buried, rose again, went on back to glory, and the apostles confirmed that one church. The apostle Paul, help us to understand. Look at the Bible. Now, you got to understand something in regards to that one church. That one church, again, it has a name, it has a worship, and my friend, it has an entrance in regards to how does one become a member of it. Well, Jesus told us he was going to build it. Now, the apostles came along to explain that this is, in fact, what Jesus did. Now, when we look at the church at Corinth, in the book of 1 Corinthians, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians, the chapter is 1. I was looking for my brother. My brother disappeared on me. Marina disappeared on me. We got to read. All right, Brother Brown, you're going to help me. All right, in 1 Corinthians, somebody, oh, there goes my brother. Okay, there you go. He pointed up. I looked the wrong way. All right, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse number 1, in verse number 2, listen to what the Bible says.
Paul called to be an apostle. Of Jesus Christ.
Come on and read.
Through the will of God.
Watch this, through the will of God.
Sosthenes,
and Sosthenes, our brother.
Unto the church of God.
Watch this now. Don't miss this now.
All right now.
He's going to give us the name of the church. What is that name? He said it is the church
of
the
God.
The church of, hold on.
Okay.
Somebody said, Brother Pounds, you all keep talking about the church of Christ. But Paul said the church of God.
Right.
Because when Paul said the church of God, Paul was saying the church of Christ. I know that's right.
That's right.
Because the Bible says in Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. Look at Acts chapter 20 and verse number 28. And watch what the Bible says. Acts 20 and verse number 28. Watch what the book says. Acts 20.
Take heed therefore unto yourselves.
Paul talking to the Ephesian elders. He said, take heed therefore unto yourselves
and
to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost
has
made you overseers to feed
the church of God.
Don't miss this now. To feed
the
church of God which he had purchased
with
his own blood.
That's right.
Now we looked at this in regards to the Godhead. 1 John 5:7, there are three in the Godhead.
That's right.
The Bible said the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. There are three in the Godhead. So when the Bible said the church of God, we got to figure out which God has the church.
Amen.
Well, the God that has the church is the God that has the blood.
Amen.
Because the Bible said he purchased the church with his blood.
That's right.
Well, we know that the church of God was not referring to the Father or the Holy Spirit.
Mm-mm.
Well, how do you know that? Because the Bible says in Luke chapter 24, in the book of Luke chapter 24, and let's start reading around verse number 37. In Luke chapter 24, in verse number 37, Jesus gets up from the dead. He gets up from the dead, and he appears to his apostles. 24:37, when he appears.
But they were terrified and affrighted.
Come on and read.
And supposed that they had seen a spirit.
Watch this now. They thought they saw a spirit. Come on and read, sir.
And he said unto them.
And he said unto them.
Why are ye troubled?
Why are you troubled?
And why do thoughts arise in your hearts?
Arise in your heart?
Behold, my hands.
My hands.
And my feet. That it is mine. It is I.
It is I.
Myself.
Handle me.
And see. For spirit
because
hath not flesh.
A spirit does not have flesh.
And bones.
I said a spirit doesn't have flesh or bones.
That's right.
Well, why is that important? Because the God that has a church is a God that has blood.
That's right.
Well, and one thing you got to understand. In order to have blood, you got to have flesh.
Right.
I know that's right. Leviticus chapter 17. Let's go to the Old Testament. In Leviticus chapter 17, and the verse is number 11. In the book of Leviticus, the chapter is 17, and verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says. Leviticus 17:11. The Bible said, for the life
of the flesh is in the blood.
The Bible said, the life of the flesh
is in the blood.
It's in the blood. So if we find the God that got flesh, we'll know the God that got blood, and the same God purchased the one church.
That's right.
Well, let's see whether or not did Jesus have flesh. I know he had flesh because the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse number 1, the Bible said, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Bible tells us all things were created by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Drop down to John 1 and verse number 14,
where the Bible said,
and the Word
was made flesh
and dwelt among us.
And
the Bible tells us that the Word became flesh.
And
did Jesus have blood? Yes.
Yes, sir.
He had blood. Bible said in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 18, 1 Peter 1:18, the Bible said, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of our fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. I know he had blood. Thank God for the blood of Jesus.
That's right.
Somebody said, what can wash away my sin?
Nothing
but the blood of Jesus. Somebody asked the question, what can make me whole again? Answer came back, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. No, my friend, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Somebody started writing and said, there's power. There's power. There is wonder working power. It's in the blood. It's in the blood of the Lamb. Somebody started writing, said, there is a fountain that's filled with blood that is drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, and they lose all of their guilty stain. And so thank God Jesus had blood, because Jesus had flesh. Out of all those three in the Godhead, only Jesus had flesh. Only Jesus had blood. And so therefore, when you see the church of God, I want you to know that is the church of Christ. We got to understand this tonight, that those in the Godhead, God the Father, recognized the Son as God.
Right.
I know that's right. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8. Hebrews chapter 1 and verse number 8. Watch what the Bible says. Hebrews 1 and verse number 8. The Bible says,
unto the Son.
He said, but to the Son.
He said,
Thy throne, O God,
is forever.
God was talking to his Son and called him God.
That's right.
So when Paul said the church of God, he's telling us the church of Christ. And then, my friend, God, recognizing Jesus Christ. Jesus, in regards to saving man, we have the church. It was spoken by Christ and confirmed by the apostles. That name was the church of God or the church of Christ. And then I don't have time, but listen, he gave that church a worship.
Mm-hmm.
We don't just come together on Sunday and do whatever we want to do. No, worship is not a free-for-all.
That's right.
But we got to worship God. The Bible says in John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshiper shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And so therefore worship, my friend, it has to be according, my friend, spiritual worship. It is spirit work. Don't have time. That's a sermon in itself.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible, Philippians 3 and verse number 3, we worship starts in the inner man.
Mm-hmm.
We worship God in our spirit. It starts in the inner man. We got to be mindful. Then we worship God according to truth. Well, what is truth? John 17:17. The Bible says, sanctify them through thy truth.
Thy word is truth.
The word is truth. And so therefore, we got to be mindful when it comes down to worship. Well, that church at Corinth, we see the idea Paul writes to them because of the fact they were worshiping God. Well, they worship God, and the church of Christ at Corinth, they did the five acts or the five expressions of worship. Because I know that's right. Because in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 18, they had preaching.
Mm-hmm.
Because Paul said, the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. I know they had preaching. Because Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse number 1, Paul said, moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel. Paul said, which I preach unto you, which also you receive where you stand, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you, first of all, which also I receive, how Christ died for our sins. He was buried, rose again the third day, according to the scriptures. So we know that when the church came together, they had preaching going on. Not only did they have preaching, but I need to tell you, my friend, when they came together, they prayed. The Bible said, 1 Corinthians 14, verse 15, I will pray with the spirit. I will pray with the understanding also. When they came together on the first day of the week, they communed, or they took the Lord's Supper. Because the Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse number 23, Paul said, for I receive of the Lord, which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night which he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had blessed it, he broke it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. After the same manner also he took the cup. The Bible tells us that it was on the first day of the week, Acts 27, that they came together, my friend, for the purpose of remembering the great sacrifice of Jesus Christ. But then not only that, but when they came together, they had singing. They were singing, and they did not use instrumental music when they came together to sing. The Bible tells us in the New Testament that when we come together, we ought to sing.
That's right.
Not play anything. We sing. We don't entertain. We sing.
Amen.
The Bible is plain. When you go through the Bible tells us that we ought to sing. Look at the Bible. In Matthew 26 and verse number 30, when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. The Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 16 and verse number 25, the Bible says about midnight that Paul and Silas prayed and sang. The Bible said in Romans chapter 15 and verse number 9, I will declare thy name to the Gentiles. I will sing praise. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and verse number 15 that we ought to sing with the spirit and sing with the understanding also. Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalm, hymn, and spiritual songs, singing. Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalm, hymn, and spiritual song, singing with grace in your heart unto the Lord. Hebrews chapter 2 and verse number 12, in the midst of the church will I sing praise. James chapter 5, verse number 13. If any among you marry, let him sing. Look at what we have. Song, sang, sing. Singing, singing, sing, sing. You can't get playing there to save your life. Somebody try to get play with all that sing. They belong in sing, sing. The Bible is plain when it come down to the music that we make in the church. Now, when I say music, you got to understand this. When God told Noah to build the ark, what God did was there was a law. And we got to understand this in religion. There is a law. There is a law of inclusion, and there's a law of exclusion. Well, when God told Noah to build the ark, what did God do? God said, use gopher wood. God went into the wood category. God selected one type of wood. When God selected one type of wood, at the same time, he rejected every other type of wood. And we got to understand that. And we understand that. Night before last, after I left, I was hungry. I was hungry. And Brother Mitchell, we went. Brother Pierre took me to Island Grill. And I didn't fell in love with Island Grill. Yeah, I fell in love with Island Grill, South Avenue. Now, that's my restaurant there. But Island Grill is a good restaurant. We went to Island Grill, and I ordered. I placed my order. And when I told the young lady what I wanted, at the same time, I told her what I did not want. Because we understand that. That's inclusion and exclusion. Now, if Noah said, well, God didn't say nothing about oak or pine or cedar, and what I'm going to do, I'm going to add a little of that to go for wood. Well, I come by here to tell you, he would not have obeyed God. Because we got to understand God, when God tells us something, God means what he says. Because if God doesn't mean what he says, well, back home I would say, you know, God meant what he said when he said what he said. Maybe I'm too loud for that speaker. Maybe I'm a little too loud for that speaker. Well, but I want you to understand this about God, that whenever God speaks, God tells us exactly what he wants. And God means what he said when he said what he says. Because if God didn't mean what he said when he said what he said, he wouldn't have said what he said when he said what he said. I'm just trying to help you understand tonight that when God speaks, God means exactly what he says. Well, now when it comes down to music, there's only two types of music. It's instrumental and it's vocal. We just saw in the New Testament where God says sing. That's vocal music. So what does God do with instrumental? God rejects it. He accepts what he wants, and whatever that's inclusion, and whatever God does not mention, it is excluded. We got to understand, God didn't have to say, now use gopher wood, now don't use oak, don't use cedar, don't use pine. Because when God told him what he wanted at the same time, God told him what he did not want. Because the God we serve is a God who is a specific God. You remember God told the priest a long time ago. God said, when you carry the Ark of the Covenant, God said, I want the priest. The priests were going to have some staves. Those long poles covered in pure gold. And they would have put it through the hoops on the side of the Ark of the Covenant. And I want the priests to carry it on their shoulders. But y'all remember along the time of David, David got a little smart. David said, we're going to carry the Ark. But David said, we're going to build a new cart. Now you got to understand this. David, he wasn't trying to give God a used cart. He said, we're going to put it on a new cart. They put it on a new cart. They were going through the threshing floor. And Uzzah saw that the oxen stumbled. And it looked like the Ark of the Covenant was going to fall on the ground. He reached forth his hand to steady it. But when he touched it, God struck him down. David said he recognized. He said, we did not do what God told us to do. Because God has a due order. And if you're going to worship God, if you're going to obey God, it has to be according to God's due order. And so therefore, my friend, tonight, we got to be mindful when it come down to singing. We got to do exactly what God told us to do. Well, the Church of Christ at Corinth, they had preaching, they prayed, they communed, they sang, and then all that, but they gave. In 1 Corinthians 16, at verse 1 and verse number 2, where the Bible tells us upon the first day of the week, Paul said, let every one of you lay by him in stores. God has prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And so therefore, my friend, when we follow this pattern of the church, it was given to us by Jesus Christ. It was spoken by Christ, but it was confirmed by the apostles. Amen. My friend, listen, that name, the worship and the entrance. How does one become a member of that church? Well, how did the saints down in Corinth do it? Because they were the church of God or the church of Christ. How did they do it? How did they do it? Probably best just to leave that one alone. That one not going to act right. Well, you got to understand the Bible says in Acts chapter 18, Acts 18 and verse number 8, Acts 18 and verse number 8, how did they become members of the Lord's church? Acts 18 and verse number 8, watch what the Bible says.
And Crispus, the chief ruler of the synagogue.
And I like this because this makes it plain. The Bible said, and Crispus,
the chief ruler of the synagogue, believed on the Lord.
The Bible says he believed on the Lord with all of his house.
And many of the Corinthians.
And many of the Corinthians.
Hearing.
Believe.
And were baptized.
You want to know how they became members of that church of Christ? They heard.
That's right.
They believed.
That's right.
And they were baptized. And I like to point this out because sometimes individuals say, well, Brother Pound, what about Christmas? What about Christmas? Because the Bible said, read that again, sir. The Bible says about Christmas.
The chief ruler of the synagogue believed on the Lord.
Now, Brother Pound, the Bible says he just believed.
Believed on the Lord.
The Bible says he believed on the Lord. The Bible doesn't say he was baptized. Then the Bible says he just believed on the Lord. And so somebody may be saying tonight, well, if he could just believe, maybe I could just believe. Well, let's look at whether or not Christmas got away or not. Okay. Let's see whether or not Christmas was baptized. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, and let's look quickly at verse number 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 10. Let's see what the Bible says about Crispus. Let's see whether or not Crispus got away.
It said, no, I beseech you, brethren.
I'm begging you, brethren.
By the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
By the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ.
That ye all speak the same.
We all. And I love that. I love that. We all
speak the same thing.
I said we all got to speak the same thing. I like that. It doesn't matter where you come from. If you're a member of the body of Christ, we all ought to speak the same thing. And that ought to let you know everybody not a part of the body of Christ.
Right.
Because everybody not speaking and saying the same thing. You see, my friend, you got to understand the difference between denominational institutions. The difference between a Baptist and a Methodist is their doctrine.
All right, now.
Their doctrine is their teaching. And the reason they are different is because they have different teachings. The thing that unifies us is the teaching. And that's what I love about the church. Because the Bible said that'll be no. Paul was writing to saints in the church.
Right.
He said when it come down to saints in the church, that'll be no divisions among us. We ought to be speaking
the same thing.
Minding the same thing. Following the same thing. Obeying the same thing. And if we would just follow Jesus Christ, then we all could be one. Paul said to the church, watch the book now. Go to read, sir. Paul says, I beseech you therefore, brother, by the mercy of God. Paul said that we all speak the same thing. There be no division among you, but that you be perfectly
joined
together
in the same mind.
Same mind.
And the same judgment.
And the same judgment. Come on.
It says, for it had been declared unto me.
It had been declared unto me of you,
my brethren.
By them of the household of Chloe.
That there are the contentions.
Watch this now. Paul said there's problems down there.
No, this I say.
Now Paul said this I say.
That every one of you that say.
Every one of you say.
I am a Paul.
I'm following Paul.
I'm of Apollos.
I'm following Apollos.
And of Cephas.
Some I'm following Cephas
and
of Paul.
Of Christ.
And some say I'm following Christ.
Is Christ
he
divided?
He asked the question, is Christ divided?
Was Paul crucified?
I want to ask you a question. Why y'all thinking somehow y'all are super saints? Because y'all following Paul. Was Paul crucified for you?
Or were you baptized?
Or were you baptized?
In the name of Paul.
In the name of Paul. Come on and read, sir.
I thank God.
What are we dealing with? We're dealing with Christmas.
All right, now,
he said, but I thank God.
I thank God. I thank God I baptized none of you.
But
Christmas.
I put Christmas in that water. I want you to understand tonight, nobody can get away. You know, I was dealing with baptism one time, Brother Mitchell, and there was this fellow, and he wanted to challenge me on this subject. He said, no, he said, baptism cannot be essential. He said, because he took me to Acts 15 and verse number 9. Let's look at that quickly. He took me to Acts 15 and verse number 9. He said, if baptism is essential, he said, then what about? He loved that. What about? He kept that. What about? He loved his what abouts. I said, well, I'll deal with your what about. Well, the Bible said in Acts 15 in verse number 9. Watch this now. Watch what the Bible says.
And put no difference.
And put no difference.
Between us and them.
Watch this now.
Purifying.
He put no difference between us and them. Purifying.
Their hearts. By faith.
Now this is what he said. First of all, he said, the Bible says that their hearts were purified by faith. He said, you don't need baptism. He said, because their hearts was purified by faith.
Yeah.
Now, let me just try to, I don't have time to explain this, so let me just explain it. I'm just going to explain this quickly. When it comes down to the Word of God, you got to understand a couple of things. You got to know who's talking. You got to know who is he talking to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you got to understand under what dispensation they talking under.
Yeah.
These are crucial things.
Yeah. Right.
Who's talking?
Uh-huh.
Who is he talking to?
Uh-huh.
What are they talking about?
Yeah.
And under what dispensation are they under?
Uh-huh.
This is crucial.
Yeah.
I say this is Bible hermeneutics. Now, grandma say, Herman who? It is the science of interpretation.
Right.
Is how we come to understand the proper interpretation of the Word of God.
Yeah.
Now let's find out who's talking. Go back to verse 7. In verse number 7, the Bible says,
and when there had been much disputing,
Peter rose up
and said unto them,
Men and brethren,
ye know how that a good while ago, God made choice among us, that the Gentiles,
by my mouth,
should hear the word of the gospel
and believe. He just said you got to hear the gospel and believe it.
Mm-hmm.
Now come on and read, sir.
And it says, and God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness.
Come on and read.
Giving them the Holy Ghost, even as he did unto us.
Come on and read.
And put no difference between us and them.
He put no difference.
Between us and them.
Between us and Jews and Gentiles.
Purifying their hearts.
Watch this now. He purified.
Their hearts.
Their hearts.
By faith.
By faith. That's what he did.
All right now.
Who's talking? Peter is talking.
That's right.
Who is he talking to? That was a group that came together in Jerusalem.
That's right.
Because there were some Jews who had came into the church. They were trying to bind the gospel plus some of the teaching of the old law on the Gentiles. So they came together in Jerusalem. The elders and the apostles came together at the first lectureship of the churches of Christ. There in Jerusalem, they came together to consider this matter. What are they talking about? In regards to how one's soul is purified. And so therefore, who's talking, Peter? Who is he talking to? Those who had gathered in Jerusalem. What are they talking about? Soul being purified. The salvation that came to the Gentiles through the gospel. What dispensation they under? They were under the Christian dispensation.
That's right.
Now, you got to understand. What Peter does, Peter says, being the speaker, he says that their hearts are purified by faith.
That's right.
But he does not explain how this purification takes place. But now, later on, Peter says, I'm going to explain this as to how this is done.
Mm-hmm.
Go with me, brothers. Peter, in the book of 1 Peter, Peter said in chapter 1, verse 22, Peter says, seeing. Don't miss this now. Peter says, seeing.
He hath purified your soul.
Now watch this now. That's the word. He says, seeing.
He have purified your
soul. You have purified
your souls.
All right, now, this is the same thing. Right. He said over there, their hearts were purified. Right. He told them what happened, but he does not explain in Acts 15:9 how it happens. Right. But now in 1 Peter, he's going to explain how their hearts were purified by faith.
Yeah.
He says, seeing. You purified your soul.
In obeying the truth.
Don't miss this now.
Amen.
They had to obey
the truth.
You want to know how your soul is purified? You got to obey the truth.
Amen.
Come on and read.
Through the Spirit.
Through the Spirit. Unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another
with a pure heart fervently.
Don't miss this now. They were born
again.
Again. You want to know how your soul is purified? You got to obey the truth.
Yeah.
You got to be born again.
Amen.
Born again. Not of corruptible seed,
but
incorruptible.
By the word of God.
By the word of God. By the word of God that liveth
and abideth forever.
For all flesh
is as grass.
And the glory of man
as the flower of grass.
The grass withereth and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of God endure forever. And this is the word
which the gospel is preached unto you.
The gospel was preached, which is the word of God. They were born again when they obeyed the truth, and that's how their souls were purified. I know that's right. Well, let me just quickly, who was he talking to? Who was he talking to? I want to know, who was he talking to? He said they were purified when they obeyed the truth. They were born again by the word of God when they obeyed the gospel. Who was Peter talking to? All right, let's go. Go back up to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 1. Let's see what the Bible says.
He's an apostle of Jesus Christ.
Watch it, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ.
The strangers scattered throughout Pontus.
Don't miss this now. Who is he writing to? Strangers scattered throughout Pontus.
Galatia.
Asia.
Cappadocia. Asia and Bithynia.
Don't miss this now. Who is he talking to? Cappadocia, Asia,
Bithynia.
Pontus, and those regions round about. Who is he talking to? He said the same ones, your soul been purified. You obeyed the truth when you were born again by the word of God, when they obeyed the gospel. Who is he talking to? Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and those regions round about. That's who he's talking to. All right, now here is the question. Brother Pounds, when did Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about, when did they have their hearts purified? When did they obey the truth? When were they born again by the word of God? When did they obey the gospel of Jesus Christ? Who are you talking about? Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about. Let me just show you quickly. When Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about obeyed the gospel and had their souls purified. Let's go to the day of Pentecost. In the book of Acts chapter 2. Let's go to Acts chapter 2. And meet me, brethren. Let's read around verse number 1. We'll start at verse number 1 in deference to time. Watch what the Bible said. Acts 2 at verse number 1. What does the Bible say?
And when the day of Pentecost,
and when the day of Pentecost
was fully come.
They were
all with one accord
in one place.
And then suddenly
there came a sound from heaven
as of a rushing mighty wind.
And it filled all the house wherein they were sitting.
And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire.
And sitting upon each of them.
And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost
and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Come on, read.
And they were dwelling at Jerusalem.
Jews, devout men. Out of every nation under heaven. Come on.
And now when it was noised abroad.
And the word got out. Noised abroad. Multitude came together.
And were confounded. Every man heard in his own language.
In his own language, and they were all amazed. And go to read.
And marvel saying, Behold, are not all these that speak Galileans? And how hear we every man?
In our own tongue wherein we were born. Come on, read.
Parthians.
Medes.
Elamites. Dwellers of Mesopotamia. And in Judea.
Cappadocia.
Pontus.
Asia. Phrygia. I come by here to tell you.
Right now.
They were there on the day of Pentecost.
And now.
How did it happen? Look at verse number 30. I got to go quickly. And verse number 36. And in chapter 2, 36, the Bible said, therefore. Verse 36, therefore let all the house of Israel.
Know assuredly.
That God had made the same Jesus.
Whom you crucified.
Both Lord and Christ.
Now when they heard this.
Don't miss this now. And when they heard this. Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about. When they heard this.
They were pricked in their heart.
Whose heart was pricked? Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about. And the Bible said, go and read, sir.
Said unto Peter
and the rest of the apostles,
men and brethren,
what shall we do? We who? Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about. And the book said, go and read, sir.
Then Peter said unto them,
Repent.
And be baptized.
Every one of you.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
For the remission of sin.
And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.
Come on.
For the promise is unto you. And to your children.
And to your children, and to all that are far off.
As many as the Lord our God shall call.
Go ahead and read, sir.
And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying,
Save yourself from this untoward generation.
Then they,
Cappadocia, Asia, Pontus, and regions round about, when they gladly received the word, they were baptized. And the same day, they were added unto them about 3,000 souls. How did they have their souls purified? By obeying the truth, by being born again by the word of God and the gospel on Pentecost, when they heard the truth and they were baptized.
Right.
That's how they did it. If you want your soul to be purified tonight, you got to go in the waters of baptism.
Amen.
You got to go in the waters of baptism.
Amen.
My friend, baptism is un-get-aroundable.
Amen.
I say it's un-get-aroundable tonight. We must do exactly what the Lord. I don't have time. Listen, in regards to the Lord, in regards to how. Now, how do we enter? You enter through baptism.
Amen.
Those in Corinth, my friend, that church that Jesus spoke of, confirmed by the Apostle Paul, you got to come in through. You got to come in through baptism.
Amen.
Don't have time. But Jesus, when he rose from the dead in Mark 16, 15 and 16, he got up and said, go into all the world. And he said, preach the gospel. The gospel is the good news. Jesus mentions the gospel. Paul comes along and confirms that, in fact, this is what the Lord says. The gospel must be obeyed by everybody. Now, I need you to understand this and why baptism is so important. Because baptism, my friend, without baptism, we're on the outside of Christ. You can't get in Christ without baptism. Now, and in order to understand baptism, baptism is a pattern. We have to reenact the gospel of Jesus Christ. Die, love and practice of sin. Buried in water. Rise from the water to walk in the newness of life. I said it's a pattern. You got to follow the pattern. Look at the Bible, Romans chapter 6 and verse number 17. In Romans 6 and verse number 17.
But God be thanked.
Paul said, but God
be thanked.
Be thanked.
That ye were the servants of
that
sin.
You were, past tense.
That's right, you were
the servants of sin.
But ye have obeyed from the heart.
You have obeyed
from the heart.
From the heart.
That form of doctrine.
You see that word form?
That's right.
It comes from a Greek word, tupos.
That's right.
Which means you obey the pattern. You obey the pattern. What pattern? Now, he told them, but God be thanked that ye were, time past, the servants of sin. But because you've obeyed from the heart,
that form of doctrine,
that pattern, that form of doctrine, he said, which was delivered
you.
Paul says they obeyed what was delivered. Don't have time. But in 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, Paul says, I delivered unto you that which I received. Talking about the gospel of Jesus Christ. So it goes back. He says, you were the servants of sin, but you obeyed from the heart that pattern of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then
made free
when you obey the pattern, being then made free from sin. Ye became
the servants of
righteousness.
That's right.
You cannot go from being a servant of sin to a servant of righteousness without following the pattern.
Amen.
Well, what is the pattern? Let's go back. Because he gave them the pattern. Go back to verse number 3. Romans 6 and verse 3 and verse number 4. He's going to give us the pattern.
Know ye not.
Don't you know.
That so many of us
were baptized
into Christ.
Those Jesus. Who were baptized into Christ.
Were baptized into his death.
Baptized into his death.
Therefore. We are buried with him by
buried
baptism.
Buried with him.
By baptism
by
into
baptism
death.
Into death.
That like as Christ
like
was
as
raised
Christ
up.
Was raised.
From the dead by the glory.
From the dead by the glory of the Father.
Even so. We also. Should walk.
Gotta walk. In the newness of life. Death. Burial. Resurrection. That's the pattern that has to be followed.
That's right.
It's a pattern. And we got to follow that pattern. It was spoken by the Lord. And it was confirmed by the apostles.
Amen.
I don't have time, but Jesus says, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature, he that believeth. And then he says, and is baptized. Baptism saves.
That's right.
It doesn't matter what man says.
Mm-hmm.
I said to baptism saves.
That's right.
It saves. And we were looking at that last night. I don't have time to deal with all of that tonight. But baptism saves because what God did, in his infinite wisdom, God recognized that there was no way that man could ever get to God by himself.
Fix it now.
Because the thing that separated God and man was sin. Isaiah 59, verse 1 and 2, the Bible said, behold, the hand of the Lord is not shortened that he can't save. In other words, there's nothing wrong with God. He doesn't have an arm that's too short to reach you. God does not have an arm that's not strong enough to hold you. But the Bible said, the arm of the Lord is not short and that he can't save.
No,
his ear is
heavy,
not too heavy.
That he cannot hear.
His ear is not so dull of hearing that God can't hear you.
But your iniquities.
But your iniquity
have separated
between you
and your God.
And your God
and your sins
and your sins
have hid his face
has hid
from you.
His face from you.
That he will not
that
hear.
That will is a choice.
That's right.
He chooses not to hear us because sin separates us. So in order for man to have fellowship with God, the sin has to be removed.
Amen.
Now we can't do it ourselves. That's why God gave us Jesus. He sent Jesus to deal with our sins.
Right.
When God sent Jesus, the plan was this deliverance from sin is called salvation.
Mm-hmm.
He put this salvation in Christ. In 2 Timothy 2 and verse number 10, the Bible says, I therefore endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation that's in Christ. He put salvation in Christ. We talked about this salvation. The Bible tells us in Acts 4 and verse number 12, neither is there salvation
in any other.
For there is none other name. Neither. Don't go anywhere else looking for it. Because it's nowhere else.
That's right.
Neither is there salvation in any other. Don't look for it in man-made religion. John Henry, John Calvin, John Smite, Mary Baker Eddy. Don't look for it nowhere else. Neither. Is there salvation
in any other?
In any other.
For there is
none other name
under heaven.
Watch this now. Under heaven.
Given among men.
Given among men.
That's right. Whereby.
Whereby.
Must.
Must. That's mandatory.
That's right.
Must. That is something that has to be done.
That's right.
Man must be saved.
Amen.
Because if not, you're going to be condemned. Man must be saved. And so God provided a way. God provided a way, one way, the way, Jesus Christ, for us to be saved. He put that salvation in the name of Jesus Christ.
Right.
He connects this salvation to the blood of Christ. When Jesus died, connected the blood in his death, he shed his blood. He shed his blood in his death. And the Bible tells us that blood, thank God for that blood. Soldier pierced him in the side. Out of his side came out the blood. It came out the water. And then those he saved, he puts them in the body or he puts them in the church. God has connected this. In order for man to get rid of his sin, God helped us. We talk about that. Hooked up salvation to Christ. I'm not going to deal with everything. This is enough tonight. Salvation in the name. Salvation in the blood or the death of Christ. Salvation in the church or the body of Christ. Now, in order to access this salvation, there's something man must do.
Mm-hmm.
Man has to get in Christ.
That's right.
Because if you don't get in Christ, you will never be where the salvation is. How do I get in Christ? The Bible tells us in the book of Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, 27. Galatians 3, 26, 27. For you are all
children of God
by faith
in Christ Jesus.
For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ, baptism will put you in Christ. When you get in Christ, you are where the salvation is. Salvation is in the name. How do we get in the name? Matthew 28 and verse number 18. In Matthew 28 and verse number 18 tonight, how do we get into the name? Because the Bible said, neither is there salvation any other. There's none other name given unto heaven whereby we must be saved. Salvation is connected to that name.
That's right.
How do we get in contact with that name?
And
Matthew
Jesus
28, Jesus
came and spake,
came unto them saying,
all power is
given unto me
in heaven and in earth.
Go ye therefore
and teach all nations,
baptizing them
in the name of the Father.
Baptize them in the name
of the Father.
Their name, not names plural,
name.
But the one name.
That's right.
The one authority.
That's right.
Baptize them in the name
of the Father. And of the Son.
Son.
And of the Holy Ghost.
How can I get in contact with the name? I got to be baptized.
Amen.
I must be baptized. Baptism, it puts us in contact with the death of Christ.
That's right.
We just looked at that. Romans 6, verse 3 and 4. We are baptized into his death. And then, my friend, you got to go in the waters of baptism. 1 Corinthians 12, 13. To get in contact, my friend, with the church that's going to be saved. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12, 13, for by one spirit are we all baptized.
Into one body.
Into one body. And we looked at that. The one body is the church. And the church is the body. And so therefore, my friend, look at what we have in regards to the church. Jesus spoke of the church. And it was the Apostle Paul who tells us, who confirms it, in regards to what to look for to identify that one church. Jesus mentions the gospel, and we recognize the Apostle Paul helps us to understand, my friend confirmed it, that it is a pattern of the death, the burial, and the resurrection that you and I must go through as well. And then, my friend, we recognize baptism. Baptism is crucial, because if man never gets in the waters of baptism, he will never get in Christ. He will never get in the name. He will never contact the blood that was shed in Christ's death. He will never be a part of the body, and this is what God gave us in order for us to be saved. Therefore, man will stay. He will stay in his sins. As I close tonight, so much I wish I can tell you tonight. Ooh, so much I wish I can tell you tonight. If I had time, you know, three is unity. Three shows divine unity. That's why there are three in the Godhead. 1 John 5 and verse number 7. It says there are three in the Godhead. I don't have time to deal with all this, but in the Godhead, it's the Father, the Word, Holy Spirit. 1 John 5, 8, the Bible said there are three that bear record on earth. Spirit, water, and the blood. In 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 through 4, the gospel is the death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 13, the Bible tells us, and now abideth faith, hope, charity. Bible says, Ephesians chapter 4, verse number 5, there's one Lord, one faith, and one baptism. Now, I wish I had time tonight to deal with all of this. But because time would not allow me to deal with all of this, let me just tell you what you need to do to be saved. The first thing you must do, you got to hear how Jesus died for your sins. He was buried, rose again the third day. You got to believe that with all of your heart. You got to repent of your sin. Confess faith in the fact that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and then be baptized in water for the remission of your sin. And you could be a member of the Church of Christ. You can leave here tonight knowing I'm a member of the church that Jesus spoke of, and the apostles, they confirmed. I don't know about you, but I want to go to heaven one day. I want to go to heaven because I know the Lord, he's coming back again. I said he's coming back again. I don't have time, but he's not coming back the second time the way he came the first time. I said the first time he came alone. But the second time he comes, he's coming with his angels. Be the first time he came a baby was born. But the second time, B, he's coming back for those who born again. C, the first time he came and man crucified him. But the second time he comes, he's coming for those who carried their cross. The first time he came, he was denied. But the second time, there'll be no doubt. The first time, evil was elevated. But the second time, evil will be eliminated. The first time he came, he was forsaken. But the second time he comes, he's coming for those who have faith. Gee, the first time he came, it was God coming down to be with us. But the second time he comes, we're going to be with God. The first time he came to provide man some help. But the second time he comes, he's coming to give us that hope that we've been holding out for. I say the first time he came, we saw him, he was in a manger. But the second time he comes, he's taking us so we can be in a mansion. The first time he came, church, and Jay, he was judged by man. But the second time, he's going to judge every man. The first time he came lowly, but the second time he's coming lifted up. The first time man was checked on, but the second time man is going to be checked out. The first time he came to be near us, but the second time he's coming so we can be near him. The first time he came, he was on dusty streets, but the second time he comes that we can be walking on streets of gold. The first time Pilate, he stood before Pilate, but the second time Pilate is going to stand before him. The first time he came, Q, he came quietly, but the second time he comes, he's coming quickly. The first time he came riding on a donkey, but the second time he comes, he's coming riding on a cloud. The first time he came secretly, but the second time he comes, he's going to be seen by everybody. The first time he came, he was tried by man, but the second time he comes, he's going to try every man. The first time he had to go through an unjust trial, but the second time he comes, the unjust will be tried. The first time he came, he was a victim, but the second time he comes, he's going to be victorious. The first time he came to walk here with us, but the second time he comes, he's coming that we can walk with him. The first time he came to explain God's plan, but the second time he comes, he's coming to execute God's will. The first time he came, he wants to be your lawyer, but the second time he comes, he's coming to be your judge. The first time he came, he zoomed down, but the second time we gonna zoom up and meet him in the air. I stop by to tell you, it's time to obey Jesus Christ. It's time to obey the Lord tonight. It's time to say yes to him. Jesus spoke of one church. You need to be a member of it. He spoke of the gospel. There's only one. He spoke, number three, he spoke of baptism. And the things he spoke about, they were confirmed by the apostles. What about you tonight? God did all of this to help us out of our sins. Don't walk away from him tonight. He's been too good. He's been too good. He woke you up this morning. I said, God's been good. Started you on your way. God's been good. There's a lot of people that woke up this morning, didn't make it to the end of the day, but God watched over you. God is showing you his goodness. He's good to you. Romans 2:4, he's good so that you can turn to him. God wants you to turn. Come to him. He's his goodness, his forbearance leadeth thee to repentance. God wants you to come to him tonight. Say yes to Jesus Christ. We mentioned, gave you the plan of salvation. You heard that. Do you believe that? Are you willing to repent of your sin, come forward confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, be baptized for sin's remission? Do that tonight. You remember the body of Christ, you're going astray, come on back home. They'll process repentance, confession, and prayer. Or if you need prayer, Lord knows all of us do. All of us can fall on our knees and say, Lord, it's me. It's me, oh Lord. I'm standing in the need of prayer. If you need the Lord, I want you to come on right now. Come on right now. We're going to stand. We're going to sing a song of encouragement. Come on, as we stand. 559. 559.
Five, five, nine. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in his grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Say, are you washed? Are you washed in the blood? In the blood, in the soul, cleansing blood of the Lamb. Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you walking daily?